Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Might have something on our hands here with Arch Manning. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, it was the Texas spring game over the weekend. You might wonder, guys, you got all this basketball, you've got all this stuff, hockey going on. Well, when Arch Manning throws for 355 yards in a spring game with three touchdowns, yes, also did throw a pick, you're going to stand up and take notice, mostly because Texas is a really good team. They went to the Final Four this year. Quinn Ewers, though, as the starter quarterback, is entrenched. There's nothing that's going to move Quinn Ewers off of this job. Now, Arch playing really well, and of course, it's the nephew of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, who was a five-star recruit, or close to five-star, but one of the most highly touted high school recruits that we've seen in some time. And so if Arch now is showing, Perloff, that he can take this step and he's looking really great in this spring game, we're all going to pay attention to this.
Yeah, but it's a spring game. And the other guy, whoever the third string guy, did great too. It's a spring game. What do you expect Arch to do?
Okay, well, here's what I expect. Not what I expect, but here's what I am going to posit to you.
Okay.
Now, Arch Manning has a different kind of calculus. We've been talking all morning about Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, and could he try to get himself away from the Washington Commanders if he doesn't want to go number two overall and get himself to a different team? This is shades of Eli Manning. And what Eli Manning did in 2004, he was able to get himself not to San Diego, but to the New York Giants, and the rest is history. There are special dispensations that happen when your last name is Manning. You're the first family of football. Not all the rules apply to you when you are a Manning. So, Arch Manning has this great spring game. Again, the 355 yards, the three TDs. Quinn Ewers was only played one series, I believe, in this game. It ended with an interception, but it didn't matter. Steve Sarkisian says nothing is going to move Quinn Ewers off of this starting job. The transfer portal is still open. Now, if Arch did want to leave, let's say he really is taking all these steps forward. And let's just say, Perloff, he is ready for a starting job in college football.
Yeah, okay.
To sit for 2 years, 1 year I get, but to sit for 2 years, if you actually have the ability to play at this level, then it kind of feels a little bit like a waste. And I'm not saying that Arch has to rush his way to the NFL. I'm just saying you'd probably want to play because when you're QB1, you get way more snaps in practice. Mm-hmm. You just get way more, obviously, the playing time. But you just get so much more experience. And if you are somebody with designs on going to the NFL, you want all those reps. You want all that experience. And so the idea that Arch might try to, you know, would at least take a peek at what other schools are doing, to me doesn't sound crazy. The transfer portal is open until April 30th. And so, again, if he really has shown that he's taken these big steps forward to start and to be QB1, I could understand anybody's sort of desire to not be a backup anymore.
I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, Arch could have started last year, though, and he decided to take this position where he'd be a backup. And I, but you're saying
could he started as a true freshman? What yeah, a little any, harder.
Well, anywhere else in the country, probably, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he would have started Alabama. Even though they had a quarterback situation.
I think he probably would have started.
I don't know if he would have started, you know, at Georgia.
Georgia's one spot besides Carson Beck, but I think he would have started most big-time D1 schools. He just happened to be pinned behind a former number one recruit as well. Yeah, I think, I mean, Arch definitely, I'm not arguing, Arch easily could start right now. But he knew, he went to Texas for a reason, knowing that Ewers was there, and I think he likes this situation. Also, he's only 18 still. He's obviously got tons of time.
Right, he's got time, yeah. And I'm not, and he can't go to the NFL anyway now.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if you are a competitor, the desire is to start.
Right.
And so with the portal now open, at least until April 30th, I think I have a spot that Arch Manning should try to look into if he wants to go ahead and start this year and quickly exit Texas and go somewhere else.
What do you got?
USC.
Okay.
USC, Southern Cal. You go with Lincoln Riley, who is basically the quarterback kingmaker, but going all the way back to Baker and Caleb Williams and Jalen Hurts and
Kyler Murray.
I mean, how many guys has he, you know, ushered into the NFL draft? And, you know, whatever you want to say about USC and the defense sucks and all of that, this dude knows how to coach quarterbacks. So you'd be going with a quarterback coach who can get you to where you want to go. The other part, Miller Moss, who is right now the starter, presumably, for USC, who's been there for 3 years and who was super impressive against Louisville in their bowl game, right?
Yes.
Through 6 touchdowns. Okay. If Miller Moss clearly had the job, they brought in Jaden Maivia, I'm maybe going to butcher his last name a bit, from UNLV to come in and compete with Miller Moss. So clearly, Lincoln Riley wasn't slam dunk, oh, this is 100% happening with Miller Moss, or else he wouldn't have brought in another high-level recruit. To me, this means this job could still be open or up for grabs. So again, if I'm Arch Manning, and if I want to go somewhere where I can start right away because I've shown now that I can play on this level, and I don't want to sit behind Quinn Ewers for another year at Texas, USC, it's right there. You know that they're going to want him, and you get to play under Lincoln Riley.
I like the logic. It makes a lot of sense. And Lincoln Riley, obviously, would be a top choice. The only thing is, like, the reality is, it strikes me, of course Lincoln Riley's been, I mean, he recruited Arch super hard. Of course, if USC thought they had a prayer in hell of getting Arch, you don't think they've tried this? You think, like, they're like, I'm not sure about Miller Moss. I assume we're already in the mid-April. They already played the spring game. Like the Texas thing's happening, right? Like, he kicked ass in the spring game. Like, he probably loves it there.
Well, again, the portal's open till April 30th, and now it's April 22nd.
I feel like he would have made his move already if he wanted out of there. I feel like he's pretty invested in this. He's also so young. So I think, like, I feel like if Lincoln Riley was going to get Arch Manning, I think that would already happen by now. Well, because Ewers was so good last year, they have to bring Ewers back. They're a top five team. Everything's going good there. I think everyone knew in the first window after the season that, hey, they had to take their shot at Arch, right? I would assume.
I think that things change all the time. And with the transfer portal now, you basically just have to be upright, breathing, and be in good academic standing. Like, that's basically it. With Arch, I don't even know how much money he takes from the Texas Collective. I don't even know
I think he doesn't take much.
And he gave it to charity, I thought, was one of the stories that came out. Arch, it's not about the money, but I'm sure USC, listen, you don't expect that where you're coming out of high school, you might have different priorities than you're 1 year in or 2 years in. So for me, Arch Manning, huge at the spring game. The portal's open. USC's right there. Coached by Lincoln Riley. You'll start right away.
Yeah.
Boom.
I don't think Arch wants to go in the Big Ten either really that much. I'm not sure that would be attractive to him. I think he would. I mean, obviously the natural fit would be at LSU and Alabama. And Alabama's got Jalen Milroe. And LSU, he's already turned them down like 2 times. I feel like Arch has had the same calculus in front of him for a long time. And the fact that Texas is, Sark is an amazing coach, and they are going to bring in receivers galore for him, and he knows that. Probably, you know, they're losing 2 first-round receivers this year, and they're bringing in 2 more first-rounders. Like, that's a juggernaut.
Yeah, but USC's offense has never been the problem. The offense isn't the issue. The defense is the issue.
I feel like Arch has a better situation than Texas, believe it or not. I think by the time he's going to be 19 and taking over what will be, a wagon at that point. USC, I mean, come on. Lincoln has not really had a great couple of years there. Let's face it.
But for quarterbacks, he has. It's been just fine.
I mean, yeah. Because he had Caleb Williams.
Going, like, and he's far and away.
Lincoln Riley didn't do anything for that. Caleb Williams arrived ready to go. I don't think you get, you know, yes, he did for Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray, but that's Caleb Williams. And you're right, Lincoln Riley would be great, but Arch had every opportunity to go with Lincoln Riley and said, no, I want to go with this guy. And I think he's even more excited about Texas now. He probably never thought, wow, this team's like a Final Four team. I don't even think Arch thought that. They're ahead of schedule.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. Big Easy is in, where else? The Big Easy. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Maggie. Perloff, I just want to just add to our conversation about Arch.
Yeah.
Familiar, know the family, played against the older brother. I mean, not older brother, the older uncle.
Yeah.
And these are four-year kids. He's gone there for 4 years. His sophomore year is irrelevant. He's going to start his junior year and his senior year because Mannings do not leave. You could check from the grandpa.
Yep.
From the grandpa to the uncles, they don't leave. That's not the Manning way.
But Big Easy, wait, I'm curious, which uncle did you play against?
The oldest.
You, Peyton.
Peyton.
Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper's the oldest. No, but Cooper's not his uncle. Well, Cooper's his dad.
Cooper was older than me. Yeah, Cooper was my...
Right. Cooper's his dad.
I was a freshman when he was a senior. So
okay, so here's... I thought about that, Big Easy, right? So Arch is... you're saying, you know, you're in New Orleans. The family, everyone always stays 4 years no matter wherever they go. But here's a question for you. Did anyone think that Arch was going to go to Texas? Because Tennessee and Ole Miss would have been the places. So he's already, the point I'm trying to make is Arch picking Texas was already like a bit of a surprise. And I think Arch is okay with kind of navigating his own way. You might be right. He might stay all 4 years, but I don't think he's afraid to go outside of what his family has done.
Yeah, well, I mean, Perloff spent the Super Bowl with his brother. I mean, with his dad. You know, he should have firsthand experience on what type of people they are. You know,
yeah, that's the thing too. The other thing, Big Easy, is like he doesn't need to transfer to get an NIL deal because money is meaningless to him to some extent. Like he does feel like, I agree with Big Easy. He feels like a candidate to stay in the same place. Mm-hmm. That being said, I like Maggie's logic. It makes sense if you want to start this year. But he's not he's got everything in front of him. He doesn't need to transfer, right?
And right.
Yeah, like I understand, like if you're a five-star recruit who doesn't know what your future is, then you might want to transfer to get an opportunity. Arch doesn't need that. He's got everything all there for him.
Well, I mean, I hate to, Big Easy, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you and to add to that convo. Competitive nature.
Yeah, I just
this
think
is
also.
Something you can't. You know, if you really are a true competitor and you know you're good enough to start, wouldn't it eat at you? I mean, let's talk about Arch's uncles. Do you think it would eat at Peyton Manning if he knew he was just, like, maybe not as good as the starter, but was good enough to be starting and he's just going to sit? Why?
Well, I mean, it's just a long tradition. I mean, Arch is still 18. Look at his age. It's unbelievable.
He's going to be 19 at the end of the month.
Yeah, I mean, that's young. That's how college football lasted forever. There's lots of examples of guys who sat behind guys for 2-3 years and were number one picks. I mean, that's how it used to be for a long, long time.
No, I get it, but I think about somebody like, for example, Brock Purdy. And Brock is going to be different than Arch because Brock was Mr. Irrelevant and Arch is not going to be Mr. Irrelevant. But how much do you think being a starter for multiple years, wasn't Purdy a four-year? Didn't he have four years of starting?
Yeah, but Arch could easily get 3 years if he wanted, but he'll probably start 2 years. That's plenty of experience.
Okay, but you could have more. You could have 3 years starting. You could have more game tape. Yeah. You could be even more ready to go to the pros. Nobody ever said, man, I wish I played fewer games in college because that never helped me get ready for the NFL. I think a big part of Purdy's success is the fact that he had so much college experience. He was able to step in to a situation and help San Francisco go to an NFC championship game and then a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but for every Brock Purdy, how many successful quarterbacks sat when they got to college? I assume for most of NFL history, that was the way it happened. Like, listen, Kyler Murray kind of got on the field, couldn't get on the field, disappeared for a long time, and then he ended up being the number one pick. You know, Tom Brady didn't start as freshman.
I know, but it was different because
that was like 5 years ago.
No, but you had to sit out a year. Like, if you wanted to transfer, you had to sit out, and for no other reason except for the fact that you want to transfer, unless you were a grad transfer, the world is totally different now.
honestly, I totally understand what you're saying, but like this is a good day in Texas because clearly Arch gets the Shark system really well.
Yeah.
And also too, you know who caught all the touchdowns? This guy, Isaiah Bond, who came on for Alabama, who looks amazing.
Yeah, Isaiah Bond is one of the biggest catch of the year last year for Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
I feel like now the real issue to me is, ooh, does Arch get in over Ewers at some point? Because you know Quinn Ewers is a bit injury prone. Like, say there is no transfer in the next 8 days, then that's going to be the story. Like, ooh, when are they going to go to Arch? When are they going to go to Arch? Feels a little bit related to Trevor Lawrence when he was behind Kelly Bryant at Clemson. I just think that's going to be hanging over Texas this whole year. When's Arch going to get in there? You know he's going to play this year, right? That's the way football is.
Well, Ewers has gotten hurt the last 2 years, so yeah, I would expect Arch is going to be at least starting. And I guess the question is, would Arch then not relinquish the job? You're bringing up the Trevor Lawrence, Kelly Bryant thing, but Kelly Bryant wasn't what Quinn Ewers is.
He was pretty darn good, though.
He was good, but yeah. We've never heard from him. I mean, he's not... Quinn Ewers is going to the NFL.
Yeah, no, I know. But it was crazy that Trevor Lawrence got that job. It's an interesting situation. I like your USC. It's a great fit. It's hard to knock holes in that. But the thing is, we know the reality is if Arch stays at Texas, I mean, he could easily play this year. And he's going to be good. And then he just starts. Ewers goes, this is an amazing day. Why are you trying to harsh the buzz in Austin?
Harsh the buzz. I'm trying to get Arch a starting job here.
He doesn't need to start. He's fine. Arch Manning is going to be the number one pick. He is totally fine there. And I love me some Sark. There's nobody. Lincoln Riley's a great offensive coordinator. Man, Arch is going to throw 50 touchdowns with Sark. And that talent pool there, it's going to be great.
855-212-4227 if you want to get in on the conversation about Arch Manning. I think in the next 8 days, he should transfer to USC. He's shown he can play. Now go be with Lincoln Riley. You can beat out Miller Moss for that starting job. That would be my advice to Arch Manning.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, here we go.
Were you listening to our conversation at the break?
No.
Are we just all in the same? Are we sharing a brain? Prof and I were just arguing about Taylor Swift in the break, and you came out with her song.
No. Okay, now we have to be really careful here. I heard the website, or used to be Magazine Paste, had a scathing review of her new album. What's it called? The Dead Poets Society or the Tribute Poets Society?
Tortured Poets Department.
Yes. Tortured Poets Department. Anyway, they had a negative review, and they had to put it in anonymous because they did not want the writer to get this. Death threats.
Oh, my
threats.
Gosh. Death what are we threats. Doing?
So Swifties are now putting out death threats? I mean, first of all, if you say anything that's not nice about Caitlin Clark, you'll lose 400 Twitter followers. I know that from experience.
But, only 400.
But what is the deal with Taylor Swift? Like, all of a sudden, you're not allowed to write a real review of a musician because your fans are so...
So
intense.
I think a lot of people didn't like Beyonce's last album. I did.
The country album?
Well, because I don't think people thought it was country enough, you know, or whatever they thought. And it got a little bit of a, I know Rolling Stone wrote a really a negative review about Beyonce's album. So listen, I think the popular musicians are going to be in the crosshairs now. I think that Taylor's album just sounds like every other Taylor album. That would be my critique.
It doesn't sound like the popular musicians are in the crosshairs. It seems like music critics, who are, their job is to fairly critique an album, they're in the crosshairs.
Well, it's all subjective. I mean,
well, the point is they're the ones who are in trouble. Nobody's going after Beyonce or Taylor Swift. They're going after the people who dare say, I don't like this music. Yeah, but they've always had music criticism since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Like Rolling Stones put out album reviews forever. Now you can't review Taylor because you're making people mad. Also, that's a very sad indictment of where we are.
That's true. It also is kind of funny that a Swiftie would be giving you death threats.
That's what I was like amazed at. Pace is like, we are worried about the safety of our writer. I'm like, what, are a bunch of 11-year-old girls going to come down and kill this guy? What's going on?
You know as well as I do. It's not just 11-year-old girls.
Well, I said, no, my daughter went to the concert. She said, like, and the dad was like, oh, my God. She was 10. She's like, her whole section was basically 10 to 15-year-old kids.
Wonder what J.J. McCarthy thinks of Taylor's new album, because he's in the news. There we go.
Good Cross, transition.
Back in.
Why, see, you're scared of Taylor Swift. You're smart. You don't want to talk about it.
Nope, I'm scared.
You're not going to give a review of that, you know, you're not going to match all the songs to ex-boyfriends. You're not going to do that.
No, I'm not scared of Taylor Swift. I'm scared of the audience leaving us because we're talking about Taylor Swift. I want to go back to J.J.
Oh, yeah, right.
If she's not in the press box at Arrowhead, then I don't want to
talk about it. I
got to
tell you right now, you think J.J. McCarthy is interesting to our audience more than Taylor Swift? No.
Poll question, Pat. Can you put up at Maggie Bro? What are you more interested in? Where J.J. McCarthy is going to get drafted or reviews on Taylor's new album?
You might not want that poll up there, Maggie.
I'd love it.
You want that poll?
I need that poll. I just want it right now. I need it.
Let me ask you, who do you find more interesting, J.J. McCarthy's NFL future or Taylor Swift's recent album? Put it that way.
I love this. Because I know our audience is going to come through for me on this one.
Give it to me one more time.
Is that
J.J. McCarthy's NFL future?
Or?
Negative reviews of Taylor Swift's album.
Or just reviews, yeah. All right, Pat, you got that. At Maggie and Pearl, go vote. I'm counting on you, audience. So J.J. McCarthy, here's the latest. The Michigan quarterback who has kind of been thought to be the fourth quarterback of this class, yeah, with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then J.J. McCarthy. And then we get into Penix and we get into Bo Nix. The odds for him to go to the Washington Commanders, who pick second overall, have skyrocketed. He was at 20-1, I guess plummeted. How do you want to put this? At 20-1 and now 11-1. Overnight. And a lot of this is because Jaden Daniels seemingly not happy with how the meeting went down, the visit went down with the Commanders, where they brought in all the other quarterbacks. So the J.J. McCarthy, I think, has become the most interesting part of this draft.
Moo. Okay.
How high can he get up, right? And how?
Well, right, but
That didn't sound right. How high will he be drafted?
Drake May is kind of like, it's a flip side too, because if he goes ahead of these guys, and how, then all of a sudden Drake May becomes interesting, because where would he go if not J.J. McCarthy? Sort of like a domino effect to me.
I would gather that more people have watched J.J. McCarthy play than Drake May play by a power of 10. And that's because Michigan obviously was one of the most fascinating teams this season, with everything that was going on with the Wolverines, between multiple scandals and then going on to win the title and Jim Harbaugh and everything. And they made it to the Final Four last year, too, with a thrilling loss to TCU.
Right, except more people have seen Drake May throw a football than J.J. McCarthy, because they did watch J.J. McCarthy play football. So
yeah, he doesn't throw the ball that much.
Yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy, it's funny, he is a buzzworthy prospect, and at the same time, not at all, because I don't think any fan base is going to be like, oh my God, we got him. We got J.J. McCarthy. I think they'd be like, they're going to be wildly excited about Caleb Williams. They're going to be excited about Jaden Daniels, somewhat excited about Drake May. But I think the average fan is going to be like, that's the guy we got?
Well, I know Andrew Bogish, who is noted Giants fan, newsman first, then Giants fan second.
Correct.
Does not want J.J. McCarthy.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I think most fans are in Bogish's camp for all these teams. I think a lot of people are like, the Vikings are going to trade up for that guy.
Okay, but then where's the disconnect? Because, you know, if you have teams that are going to triple over themselves to try to get up to four or maybe three,
right,
to get J.J. McCarthy, then what are we missing?
The only escape clause I would give myself on the McCarthy front is if somehow you got him in the teens.
Right.
If it somehow involved you going backwards and still land and like, oh, he's still here, but I still don't think he solves your question, but I would not be going forward to get him at 2, 3, or 4.
So, okay. So this is the expectation on McCarthy is all going to be what number he's drafted to. It could be the Vikings, but if it's the Vikings at 4, no thank you. If it's the Vikings at 12, okay.
Well, what if it's the Vikings? All they have to give up is the number 11 pick and the number 23 pick, and they don't have to give up a future first to get J.J. McCarthy at 4. Because 4 is a lot less valuable than 3. Then it's like, we don't really need the 23 pick, right? What if you could get him for a bit of a bargain at 4? Are you okay with it?
So if you're asking me if I'm the Giants, would I do 11 and 23 for 4? My first concern would be at 11, the elite guys that I should be grabbing at 4 are not going to be there.
Oh, no.
Thank you on that.
Any team, if you don't have to give up a lot to get J.J. McCarthy, are you not as worried about it? Is that okay?
I don't think that he is your answer. So I guess my answer then has to be don't trade for J.J. McCarthy. Okay.
I don't think the Giants, by the way, there's a lot of reporting out that the Giants are not going to go that direction. Yeah, I totally agree with
you. They might like Drake May apparently now. That's the last thing I read last night.
But the other thing too is, can we admit, we can't even argue, but I think we're all on the same page with J.J. McCarthy. It seems nuts that he's going to go this high because he did not pass the ball a lot.
I know. People are like, he's a winner. I don't know what that means.
Are not. That's the thing. There's no people who are saying that. It feels like only NFL executives like this guy. I have not talked to another fan who's like, man, we got to get this guy high up in the draft.
Well, I mean, people in Ann Arbor and a lot of media folks who went to Michigan, but I think.
Really? I haven't even seen them.
I think the big thing for McCarthy is, he had a really good college career. People were able to explain a lot of it with a great run game and an unbelievable defense. And I think that I thought going into this process that he was going to be the Will Levis of this class. I thought he was going to be the guy who ends up falling super low. Like Will Levis, fell to the second round. I thought it was going to be late first round. And this was the guy that people were setting up to kind of have the big fall. I don't know about that now, but that was my first inclination on J.J. McCarthy.
My first inclination is he didn't have a good college career, but people see potential there.
Yeah.
So it's just weird because unlike Will Levis was at a school that didn't have a lot of weapons around him. They switched offensive coordinators. Everything went downhill. Will Levis is a big physical specimen. He can throw the ball a mile. He can run. He came up as a running quarterback. What's the thing with J.J. McCarthy? We've all seen him. He just doesn't look like the other guys.
Well, a couple really key third downs and some big games.
No, but when he throws the ball, listen, Jaden Daniels is electric, and Drake May is gigantic, looks like Justin Herbert. And then you get J.J. McCarthy, medium size, medium arm, medium athleticism. It's just medium. It's so unusual that this guy is all of a sudden in with these other guys. Michael Penix can throw the ball 70 yards with a spiral. We never saw McCarthy do that.
This is how polarizing McCarthy is in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. John says, I'm hoping my Giants don't draft McCarthy. Michael says, that's it for Bogish, another J.J. McCarthy hating POS.
Ooh, wow. That seems unnecessary.
It got a little personal.
Did I write that?
Pete, is that your...
He is putting his phone down right now.
Do you have a burner account in our chat?
Beater Pilati. They'll never know who I am.
Junior.
Bogish, what's going on in the world?
No baby, another win, more millions. It's been a good Monday so far for Scottie Scheffler. He had to spend an extra night in Hilton Head to win the RBC Heritage this morning by 3 shots thanks to storms yesterday. And now he's the first since Bernhard Langer in 85 to win the Masters and then win the next event the very next weekend.
Last week was fantastic. And then coming into this week, I didn't have my usual prep work, but showed up, rested, ready to go. Got off to a slow start on Thursday, but other than that, I played some really nice golf in the middle of the tournament. And it's nice to be done.
That's courtesy of CBS Sports and the Golf Channel. This makes 4 wins in his last 5 starts, 10 victories over the last 26 months for Scheffler. Nelly Korda, meanwhile, is on a 5-event winning streak after claiming the Chevron Championship for a second career major. Korda is the 3rd in LPGA history to win 5 consecutive events. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander hit the tie-breaking shot with 32 seconds left. He and the Thunder held off the Pelicans in their game 1 last night, 94-92. The Bucks handled the Pacers without Giannis, 109-94, with Damian Lillard scoring 35 all in the first half. Rick Carlisle's team was down 27 at the break.
I'm not into moral victories at this point. we've just got to be a hell of a lot better for 48 minutes and not just 24. And we got 2 days to get it right.
The bad
was anyone giving the Pacers a moral victory?
Yeah, I guess like they were better in the second half. No thanks.
Lillard was like 0-for-5 and a minus 22 in the second half.
Offense was not a problem in Winnipeg, where the Jets outscored the Avalanche 7-6 to open their first round series. Then the Canucks scored 3 times in the third for a 4-2 win over the Predators. Now, back in hour one, I played a newsworthy foul ball from yesterday's Dodgers-Mets game. This one stayed fair.
Smashes this ball. Forget about it. Marte doesn't even move. It's gone.
That's Joe Davis on Dodgers TV.
Joke's on you. Starling Marte never moves.
Not even a little bit. Shohei Ohtani's 2-run homer gave him 176 for his career, breaking his tie with Hideki Matsui for the most by a Japanese-born player. The Dodgers rolled the Mets 10-0 to avoid a 3-game sweep. The Yankees did beat the Rays yesterday afternoon 5-4. Aaron Judge went 1-for-4, raising his average to 183.
All right.
183. Nice. That's not good if you're new to baseball.
Yeah, Judge is off to this really terrible start. I think this is the worst 21-game stretch of his career. Did I see that? Or the worst start of his season for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's sweet if you don't want to talk about this today, but let's focus more on Juan Soto being the greatest Yankee of all time.
That's
just torturous for Mets fans.
Now, the question is, Juan Soto is in this amazing situation where he's in a free agent year. He's already been a World Series MVP. So, World Series, did he win the MVP that year? Yeah, he did.
No, I thought Strasburg
won it. Okay, but he was amazing. He was 19 years old, basically, winning the World Series. So, he sets up for this all-time great season. Who's going to pay him? Who's going to give him the money? Because Shohei just got seven, where in the minor league ballpark they're playing. Shohei got $700 million over 10 years.
Yeah, but that was deferred. That was $700 million because he's not getting it now. But when you say who's going to, do you have a team? Or, this is a great tease.
I'm asking. I think
it's going to be
the Yankees? I don't know if it's going to be the Yankees.
It's probably going to be the Yankees.
Well, yeah.
They have to pay him, right?
Do the Dodgers want him or no?
I mean, if the Dodgers can afford him, I'm giving up on baseball.
I mean, if they want him, what do they snap their fingers and he's in blue?
I mean, if he takes in any way, shape, or form, if he's a Dodger, then something is broken. If they have the ability to pay Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, and they gave Tyler Glasnow a lot of money, and they just gave Will Smith like a $14 million a year extension to catcher.
Don't forget the other Kikuchi.
And right, no, Yamamoto.
Yamamoto.
So if they have money left for Soto, then investigation time. Seriously.
No, we know how they made the money.
Well, the Padres paying
the
Padres
baseball. Were making some noise for a little while, then they kind of went belly up, right?
Yeah, well, when their owner passed away, and that seemed to like that changed all of their financial dynamics.
Well, with the Dodgers, you could defer money for 80 years,
yeah,
so
right.
maybe he'll do that.
Sorry, I hate to be the one bringing this up, but are the Mets going to want somebody like that? Don't they have the billionaire owner?
Yeah, Mets want some talent, yes.
Yeah, are the Mets going to want somebody like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But why act them there? Yeah, that should be the team targeting him, right?
Yeah, but the problem is going to be that he's going to love the Yankees so much that he's still going to stay with the Yankees even if the Mets offer more money.
See, I don't know, though.
That's my nightmare.
He's a Boris client. I think he's still a Boris client. The Yankees, they're already paying Judge a ton, who's, again, having a terrible beginning of the season. They are already paying Gerrit Cole tons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll get out of the Stanton contract pretty soon, right? I don't know.
I'll give you a team, the Cubs.
Cubs like, could do it.
They back in the spending fray.
Cubs won't do it.
They want a star.
Do you remember when they thought that Ohtani was going to go to Toronto?
Yeah.
Remember that rumor for about 5 seconds? Also, never sleep on the San Francisco Giants. They've always got a lot of
money. I feel
like
the Rangers always make a play,
and
too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a given he's going to be a Yankee forever. Anyway.
I was cracking up, though. You guys, the Mets fans that think that Juan Soto is going to come to the Mets. I had a laugh at a tweet that said Juan Soto is getting serenaded with MVP chants in front of 50,000 people in the Bronx while there was like 12,000 people in a rally pimp at the Mets game.
That's not
and Maggie.
And me. Yeah. I'm one of the 12,000.
Guys, we're 22 games in. Let's not give Juan Soto the MVP. What are we doing here?
Whoever has the big, he's going to go to whoever has the biggest check. He's not taking any discounts
or deferred money. Remember, Washington tried to give him deferred money, and he said
none of that. He's going to take the fattest contract he can get, and it doesn't matter where it's from. I don't think winning's going to factor into his decision.
I totally agree, and I've never met Juan Soto. I have no idea about Juan Soto. He feels like a guy who's going for the cash.
Just pay me. Pay me.
Because he already has a World Series ring?
Well, just that he was in Washington, he was in San Diego Yankees. The fact that he's already been on three teams, and how old is he?
Well, he's gotten traded.
Yeah, but the point is, like, he does not seem like a one-team guy to me. He feels like he could do some shopping. And also, too, is it more logical to go for the biggest paycheck? If you guys were an MLB player, who has loyalty? There's no more Yankees mystique anymore.
You're looking at me. Nope.
Yeah. I just feel like, being in New York doesn't mean anything to these guys anymore, does it?
Well, he apparently likes being in New York.
Okay.
That has always been a thing with him, is that he wanted to play in New York, and now he's on the Yankees getting to experience what could be the best part of New York. So if you were a Met fan hoping that a blank check got him to the Mets, this is kind of worst case scenario.
And now we're going to deal with all summer. Oh, he's spending time with his teammates. He's out at the beach with his teammates.
They're at the Knick game on Saturday.
He's at the beach. New York. Where? Far Rockaway?
He's walking around the Bronx, yeah, having a good time going to the bodega.
Is that the zoo with Anthony Volpe? That's your concern?
Come on.
I think if you're going to see the Rockettes during Christmas time,
probably.
Just like shopping on Fifth Avenue.
Wait, hold on, Steve Cohen. Let me see the Rockettes first before I make my decision.
Anyway, they might sway me. That's funny.
Former Duke guard Jeremy Roach is transferring to Baylor. Drexel forward Amari Williams headed to Kentucky. Williams, a three-time CAA Defensive Player of the Year, a two-time first-team all-conference pick, one of the more popular players in the portal. And back in the NBA, the Nets have officially hired Kings assistant Jordy Fernandez as their new head coach. As their new head coach.
Wait a minute.
Back to Maggie and Perloff.
Come on.
Only.
Don't worry, Bilotti. Gary Gerald's not going anywhere. A new head coach has no impact on who is calling the Kings game.
I'd rather them hire Gary Gerald than Nets. I mean, come on. Go get a coach. Spend some money. Be a professional team.
What if Jordy Fernandez is the next best thing in the NBA?
It won't be.
Were you going to say like the next Phil Jackson?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
And they're not getting Donovan Mitchell.
What if he's the next Eric Spoelstra?
They're not getting Donovan Mitchell from what we said a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to double down on that. I would make any bet on that whole thing not happening either.
Oh, any bet, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we haven't had a Bilotti versus Bogish bet. Bogish has been ducking the smoke.
I haven't been ducking any smoke, Maggie. Don't go back down that road.
We're all in singlets.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, because first of all, I know what not to bet on. You guys just willy-nilly, like, I'll be naked here. Sure, it's been a while.
Listen, we're trying to get views. Are you into the clicks or not?
I will wear a net shirt for 30 days on this show if Donovan Mitchell goes to the Nets.
I love it.
Okay.
Are you going to... Now, we got stipulations here. It's got to be shirt next to skin. And Ken, how many washes are we giving you in this 30?
I'll wear 15 shirts, 15 net shirts.
You're going to buy 15 net shirts?
I'll buy 15 net shirts.
No way.
No, I would just buy one and wear the same one over and over
again. I'm not wearing the same one over again. I'm not a pig.
Buy two.
I'm not going to do that. I am wearing 15 different net shirts.
five would have been fine.
Five different net shirts over 30 days.
Okay.
Do they have that much merch? I'm not trying to be a jerk.
They probably don't.
Do they have five different shirts?
To make my own shirt.
You know? So what do I wear five Nick shirts if he goes anywhere other than the Nets?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have our first Bogish v. Bilotti?
He's got to change teams, though.
Wait, I don't totally understand. Like, he could get traded without his saying, Bilotti, why are you so confident they won't get a package from
the Nets? Going to the Nets.
What if the Nets trade for him, though?
The Nets can trade for him, fine. But they're not. He's not going there. He's going to have a big say in where he goes.
I agree with Bilotti.
Wait, you're saying like he's going to be so unhappy. He's going to say, don't trade me to the Nets. Because I feel like you're a little in a dangerous spot because the team could just be like, you're going.
No, he already did that once where the Jazz were like, you're going to Cleveland. And he willingly took the trade to Cleveland. And he's not going to do that again.
That's still risky to wear the same shirt for 15 days when you have no player control here. Okay.
I like it. Booked.
All right.
Bet booked.
Next bet involves you eating corn.
So if he
not his favorite bet.
If he changes teams, that's not the Nets. you were wearing a Knicks paraphernalia for 30 days, and I'm wearing Nets paraphernalia.
Yeah, where was that? Four work weeks? Sure.
Paraphernalia. You're going to have to smoke weed out of a Knicks bong.
Right.
On the show.
Do it already.
How are you doing?
That's how I get through these long days.
I think we
that's a Tuesday for Bogus.
I think we need to fine-tune this, Beb, because I do not want to see Bogus in a Knicks jersey. I want to see Bilotti in a Nets jersey.
No, we said shirts, not jerseys. Shirts.
Oh.
It's going to have sleeves.
Oh, I was thinking sleeveless.
He said shirts. Shirts, or I was thinking like T-shirts.
I'm going to be honest. Do you think anyone wanted to see you in the soccer uniform? But we all just did it.
No, I know, but that was one day. That's what I'm thinking. 30 days of Knicks. I think we're 30 days seems a bit excessive. I don't. I hate to dampen the
30 seconds of you in a kilt over my shoulder was excessive.
We didn't pixelate out the all the pants.
We're talking. Yes, we are going. I'm going to clarify this right now. We're talking about shirts.
There it is.
Sure.
That's it. Well, I'm not wearing any weird pants or any weird Zubaz or whatever. I'm not doing that.
Nets banana hammock.
None of that stuff.
You can find it in the team store. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why did you give him the out about wearing sleeves? We could have had him in a jersey, a full.
You said you didn't.
No, Bilotti. Yeah, you could have had him dressed like
a jersey.
What's that?
I might wear a jersey.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Wow.
T-shirt underneath?
Yeah, several.
The Andre Drummond look.
Several. Just multiple collars on top of each
look
other.
Like I'm
was
in
that
a
Steve
sumo
Bannon?
Outfit.
There was some moron. There was some nerd at the Knicks game on Saturday. He had a collared, like, maroon, light maroon shirt with a Knicks jersey over it. Wildest look I've ever seen.
No, that's the businessman Friday night Knicks is the long sleeve button down shirt with the John Starks jersey over it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought you were going to do the Wall Street wearing a vest,
but it didn't
look
like.
That's annoying.
It looked like an Abercrombie and Fitch polo from like 2008.
Were you at the game?
No.
No, you just saw it in the crowd.
Yeah, they showed him on the TV.
Was it the person who was burning the Joel Embiid jersey like a loser?
No. Somebody burnt an Embiid jersey?
Was that Joel Embiid?
Embiid wasn't in it.
Oh.
No. No, they were burning Embiid's jersey. At least I saw it on social media. They were burning Embiid's jersey after one win.
Sixers fans or Knicks fans?
No, Knicks fans on the steps of the Garden.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
After game one.
Yeah. I don't associate with those Knicks fans.
Like I said,
no shot
Bogus,
that comes back to bite you.
It's like your six-year-old little cousin that is like a deviant. You just got to let him, let it unfold. You're not approving it, but... You're letting it happen.
Yeah, don't you burn a jersey when someone leaves in free agency?
Yeah.
Not when you beat. Okay, just want to make sure.
Do you
remember
how bad the jersey burning got when someone lit Gordon Hayward's jersey on fire? I was like, geez, guys.
What?
Let him go.
That never happened.
It did.
Someone from where?
Utah to Boston.
Someone in Utah burned a Gordon Hayward jersey?
Look it up. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, across the country on the Infinity Sports Network. We were talking about the some Knicks fans burning Joel Embiid's jersey outside of Madison Square Garden after winning one game.
So strange.
And I think burning your jersey is like the biggest loser move you can possibly do. Your opponent's jersey, maybe a former player who was on your team's jersey. It's just you tell on yourself with how big of a loser you are when you burn someone's jersey.
Why, if you're a Knicks fan, do you have a Joel Embiid jersey? Where did they get the jersey? Did they buy it just to burn it? What are the logistics of how this happened?
Yeah, you're right. Usually you have the jersey because it was someone who played on your team.
Right.
You wore this jersey at some point.
That's how you burn a jersey. It's got to be somebody you're mad at, but you own their jersey.
Well,
wild.
You were surprised when I reminded you that Gordon Hayward had his jersey burned when he
shocked.
Was leaving Utah. And we're getting a little crazy here. That was many years ago. Isaiah is in Boise, has a story about this. Good morning, Isaiah.
Good morning. Yes, I had taken my kids to it was our second basketball game, and we have to drive to Salt Lake, and we got to get there, and this is when Gordon Hayward's making his return after the free agency, and we're walking up and we're seeing like a fire going on, and we're looking and they're burning Gordon Hayward's jersey in the parking lot, a Celtics one and a Jazz one. And it was, we were like, who is this guy who they're all mad about? We had to look it up, you know?
And Butler?
Like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Every time he got the ball, it was booed. It was like, and it was just a regular season game. And my kids, who were like 8 and 9 at the time, like, Dad, I really like NBA. We got to come back. It was so much fun.
It sold them on the league,
yeah,
Isaiah.
It was awesome. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. That was funny. Jeez. A hostile crowd in Salt Lake.
Amazing. That story, actually, you didn't remind me. I never knew that story for some reason. That just amazes me. But the Knicks fans, I mean, they're definitely, they're embarrassing themselves with the level of celebration after a game one win when you're the two seed.
Listen.
I've never seen that. I've never seen anyone storm the streets. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Well, let's be honest. If it was in Philly, they'd be greasing poles or whatever.
No, for a game one win in Philly, there'd be a sense of doom. Oh my God, we won game one, but we sucked. That's how the Philly acts. New York acted like they've just won game six of the finals.
Okay, tonight, Nuggets, Lakers, game two, still in Denver. Are you giving the Lakers a prayer to get into this series?
I guarantee the game's going to be close and the Nuggets are going to win. No, I give them no prayer at all.
I'm telling you. They go down 0-2, the Lakers, that is. It's going to become a bigger and bigger topic. And you can say, I first heard this when Maggie and Perloff were talking about this weeks ago. LeBron James plotting his next move out of L.A. If they are getting smoked by the Nuggets, and I can't buy, we kept it close for 3.5 quarters. No,
get ready for that.
No one's buying that, especially when it comes to LeBron. So, Where's the next move going to be? Because if you're not even close to Denver with this Lakers team, I don't know how much better you're getting.
When do you get the fake LeBron injury? Was that game three? When does he all of a sudden pull a calf muscle or something?
No, it's like the injury he plays through show how much of a warrior he is. Not a Golden State warrior. I mean, like a tough player.
Real question tonight. It's Knicks Sixers. Should the Sixers just sit Joel Embiid to get him healthy so he's ready for game three? Would you concede a game here?
No, because you could have another off night with Jalen Brunson, and then I don't know if Josh Hart's going to have the same kind of night. So, no, you cannot concede.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, you might not get anything out of it. Embiid might literally die if he keeps playing this way. I mean, there's a chance.
Well, then you've got bigger problems. I mean, if he's going to die, then he's not going to be good for game three either.
Like, you didn't even make fun of him dunking, throwing an alley-oop to himself and going down in a heap.
I know. Pat pulled the audio, and I never even played it. I think
this is not good. This is not a good health situation.
Thank you so much to Pat Boyle. He's done a fantastic job over the last two shows. We appreciate you so much. Thank you to Pete Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers, everyone in the chat. We love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.